afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I just walked in the house. I wasn't sure if it was on or off.
We're still on because I just was waiting for somebody.
Oh, good. Good. All right.
It was called for 3:45, so we're in good shape.
Good.
It's very warm where I am, so I'm right now looking for a short one. I hope you don't mind.
No.
And the bottom line is, naturally, there's one. Okay, section 91, the 12 tunnels, in volume 21, the second part of Incus. Page 106.
Would you repeat it again, please?
It's the Incus, volume 21, the second part of Incus. Incus B, I think they call it.
Okay.
It's on page 102. In my version, there's a few versions where they're one or two pages off.
I think I've always been with... Okay.
Okay. Section 91 is the 12 kalot. Verse 618. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu karenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu karenei. Umna'alan delechem ha'panim ihu mipatorah demalka dikiv vaydaber elai zeh ha'shulchan asher lifnei ha'shem zeh yudbet Antin v'ofaki man de'it lei ba'ei letachna u'sadra al patorei arba kipkarot v'kol siudata de'shabas litlat siudate teresar antin. And how do we know that the showbread or the shewbread comes from the king's table because of what is written? And he said to me, this, the Hebrew word is there, is the table that is before Hashem. And the numerical value of there, meaning this, refers to the 12 faces, the 12 countenances. Moreover, whoever can do so should arrange and establish on his table four loaves in each Shabbat meal, which at three meals makes 12 loaves, which are the 12 countenances. Now, the Kabbalist table that I am used to going to would actually have 12 chalot in every Shabbat meal for a total of 36 during the Shabbat. But what they actually did was make six male chalot and six female chalot. And they set it up on the table in the form of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, where the males were the Yud and the Vav, and the females were the two Heys. And they would put Yud-Kei Vav-Kei on the right, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei on the left, and Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in the middle. 10 of those chalot were not really edible. They were made fresh and then frozen and kept frozen. So they were never really edible at the meals that they were presented. But the two chalot, like other people, the two male chalot that were used in the Yud-Hei and the Vav-Hei, those were used at each meal. That was what I am used to. So this Zohar is quite different. indicating that 12 during the whole Shabbat is sufficient. Verse 6:19. Ela la me kul mitkar vav de la havre vav shit milela le tata de shit mil tata le ela le kabel shit dagin de kurse ya ila a le shit dagin de kurse ya tata a shit piat Eat kasya, the sheet the eat kalya, the nistarot la shemelo heinu, the hagi niglot la nu banenu adolam. And you might wish to suggest that from the Torah we learn about six halot, as only double the bread was required for each of the three meals, making a total of six only, not 12. He answers, we cannot mention Vav, equaling the six, without also mentioning its companion Vav, namely Vav, because when you see a Hebrew letter on a page, concealed within that first Hebrew letter is the spelled out letters. So Aleph, there's concealed in every Aleph is a Lamed and a Pei Sofit. Concealed in every Gimel is a Mem and a Lamed, and so forth for every letter. In the case of the Vav, it can be spelled Vav, or it can be spelled Vav Yud Vav, or it can be spelled Vav Aleph Vav. And all three of those spelling outs is available in every time you see a Vav in the Torah scroll or on a piece of paper. The sound of the pronounced vav, the six from above downwards and the six from below upwards. And they parallel the six steps that are in the upper throne and the six steps of the lower throne. Six of the upper throne are concealed, while six are in the open. And this is the secret of the verse, the secret things belong to Hashem, our Elohim, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. There's a lot of secrets in this one particular verse. In the temple, there were six steps leading up to the altar. There was also a ramp leading up to the altar. The six steps are mentioned at the last part of Mishpatim, I believe. It's either Yitro, the Parsha of Yitro, leading into Mishpatim, the last part of Mishpatim. It's always been curious to me why it's there and what's the meaning of it. And this verse in the Zohar, this section of the Zohar, is giving some hints that it's related to the Vav, it's related to Zeramkin, and it's also related to the revealed aspect. Whereas the upper temple has six steps, it's related to the concealed aspect. And this verse that it's mentioned, the secret things belong to Hashem, our God, and those things that which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. The phrase, to us and our children forever, is 11 letters long. And over those 11 letters are 11 dots. And it's an indication. People take this verse literally. They take this verse as saying, what belongs to God? What I can't understand? Well, It's concealed in God. It's God's, not mine. I shouldn't struggle after it. God forbid. And that's the purpose of the dots, to tell people there is nothing in this universe that Hashem is keeping secret from the human species. It may not be known. It may take a struggle to find out the wisdom of it, but it is meant to be revealed by the human species. Does anybody have any questions?
I'm not familiar with the halot being referred to as male and female. Is it just a designation, or are they shaped differently?
They're shaped differently. There's long halot, and there's a round halot.
Okay.
The round is shaped like the hay, or more so like the hay, and the long halot is shaped like a vav.
Okay, I never have seen this, not even in Orthodox families in Israel.
You won't. It's a very, very little known custom. But as Rabbi Ashlag and then after him Rabbi Brandwein taught, what is not performed, what is a custom that very few people do, that's where the light is to be revealed.
Hmm. Now, I did see them put one on top of the other and mark the top one with a mark, with a knife.
They don't really mark it with a knife. They touch it with a knife twice.
Okay.
But they do that under the challah cover on Friday night, and then in the open on Saturday morning and third meal. Now, that also is very, very different custom than in other places. But the idea of the knife, it represents judgment. So you don't really want to cut the challah because you're looking to draw the energy of mercy through the bread of Shabbat. You don't want judgment on Shabbat at all. So that's why we try not to use the knife. Although, you know, practically speaking, if you're doing a large group, you're not going to tear off 100 pieces of challot. You're going to cut it so that people feel they're getting their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I was thinking as we were talking about the custom. Oh, the 12 challot actually are a connection to the 12 mazalot, the 12 astrological signs. And since when you say the blessing over bread, over lechem, its shoresh is war. Literally, you're going to war against the desire to receive for oneself alone. And you're using the 12 halot as channels to rise above the astrological influences. Did I freak you out, shake you up, or did the, I just...
No, it's just, I'm wondering where, you know, I can read more about this because, you know, I bake my own challah and I give workshops on baking challah and I haven't come across any of those things in my reading. I did read in a Shabbat manual that said it wasn't wise to pass the bread and everybody pull a piece off, because that represented you being dependent on other people for your sustenance. And I was also taught with that, and this I was taught during the process of conversion, that you didn't have to worry about the knife on Shabbat because it represented you know, the world to come, and the knife would no longer be a sign of judgment. And so you could cut the, you know, you would cut the bread. And normally, I mean, everything I saw when I was in Israel with Orthodox families was the father would cut, he would slice the bread, and he would eat his piece, and everybody just watched him, you know. And then then he would cut the rest and then pass that around. And, of course, everybody dipped in with, you know, put salt on it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
This and this are the words of the ever-living God.
Mm-hmm.
They're both right. Every custom, every minhag is correct. There are 12 different paths to Hashem, 12 different tribes. There's 12 structures of prayer. All of this is true. All of this is correct. There's no right or wrong. There's just what resonates with your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Try it one time. They also taught you to pour salt on the challah, didn't they?
Right, except at Rosh Hashanah. You know, we do the honey.
But you still put salt in Rosh Hashanah as well, but in addition, you put the honey. Because there's no disappearance in spirituality, according to the Kabbalistic minhag.
Right. Okay.
What you're getting is also correct. There's no right or wrong.
Right.
But also, in addition, recognize the idea that the Kabbalists, the first slice with the knife, if you're going to use the knife, or the first tear, is a small piece that you give to the Satan so that he won't bother you during the week. Because the Satan is a reactive being. He's satisfied with a little bit if he gets it easily. He doesn't have to work for it.
So what do you do? Is that piece just put aside?
It's put aside on the table. And then somebody makes sure that it gets put in the garbage. Because
okay.
If somebody eats, God forbid, they're truly injecting the energy of Satan.
Okay, so that wasn't wise.
The person who pulls off that piece has the consciousness, this belongs to Satan. And that's the consciousness in that piece of bread.
That's an important...
Don't even feed that to the birds, which you're supposed to do with all of the chalot that you don't eat on Shabbat. You don't throw it away.
Right.
You feed it to the birds to create a connection to continuity to the next Shabbat through the birds, who are actually metaphors for the angels.
Okay.
You really do pull everything out of me, thank God.
And I just walked in the door. Oh, gosh. Had to leave again. And Tony's having a fever.
On recording, so let me call you back.
Okay, all right. All right, that was very good. Thank